It's time for our blogger spotlight. So this is when we highlight some of the amazing personal finance bloggers across Canada and around the world. Today, our guest comes from Vancouver, British Columbia. The blog is called Freedom 35. Our guest is Liquid Independence. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
I can't help having a smile across my face when I mention your name, and I understand you blog anonymously, and that's fantastic. I want to know how you came up with your nom de plume. It sounds very boozy to me.
Well, I did some research early on in my early 20s about how investing works and what's possible with personal finance. And I decided, the age 35 would be a pretty good goal to set for myself in order to reach financial independence.
But what about the liquid part? Is that like, are we talking Jack Daniels or are you talking liquidity, which is infinitely more boring, by the way?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, but being liquid is all about being fluent and being able to change your mind, which I think is a sign of very successful people.
Oh, so when have you had to change your mind? Was there something about your personal finance journey that had you do an about face?
Yeah, many times. Like one of the first times I changed my mind was about mutual funds and high fee funds and things like that. And I decided to change after doing that for a while to self-directed investing and then basically choosing my own investments.
One of the things that struck me in how you describe what you do in your journey is you acknowledge that you've got a lot of debts. You got about $500,000 in debt, but you say you have achieved financial independence and you did that just last year. Mm-hmm. How do you connect those two things? Because there would be some people would hear that and go, he's not independent. He's going to have $1 million in debt.
Well, I think the amount of debt you have is also dependent on how much assets you have, because if you have a lot of assets and relatively low amount of debt compared to that, then your net worth or financial situation is still in a relatively good place. So I think debt is a tool that you can use to leverage your investment gains and not necessarily a bad thing to have.
No, and I think what I like, you write about there's no such thing as good debt and bad debt, which I would agree with. I think we need to take the morality out of it. And there's a difference between the level of interest on different kinds of debt. So a mortgage is practically free these days. A credit card is practically debilitating these days. How did you come to the notion of using debt and leverage to forward your financial goals?
Well, I mainly did some studies on other people, like billionaires who have also used debt. And it seems like using controlled debt, particularly cheap debt, like mortgages, like you said, lots of people made their millions doing real estate by leveraging. Margin debt these days are pretty cheap as well. So as long as you have a controlled situation where you can manage your debt, I think it's worth looking into.
You have passive income that can occur in lots of different ways. Some people do it through income properties. Some people do it through dividend exchange traded funds. What is your approach?
A little bit of both of what you said. So I have dividend income coming from dividend growth stocks that I have in my portfolio. I've also accumulated some rental properties. So I have rental income coming in as well. So that helps both ways.
And when you say financial independence, do you still work in a conventional way, or have you pulled the plug on that?
I'm still currently working right now. I think I'll go for another year or two, but my wife and I are financially independent right now. We just like to, get out there, and then we like the socialization part of working.
Yeah, even in a pandemic, we still like to have some sort of thing to show up to for a bit. What do you think can be easily reapplied from your approach, and what's harder?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I don't know if there's any generic financial advice that would go for everybody, but I think the best thing people can invest in is really not any particular specific asset, but it's probably their human capital. In other words, they should invest in themselves and see what kind of opportunities are available, what kind of advantages that they have, what kind of idiosyncratic advantages they have that they can use for themselves to better their personal finances.
Mm, that sounds like you're eliminating plastic surgery from that equation. You mean other things?
Yeah.
Liposuction does not count. Doing a course in, I don't know, passive investing would be on the mark.
Yep. It's not for everyone, but it's definitely something to consider.
Now, you post some criticism about your blog on your blog, and it mostly seems to be about your approach to leverage. People have raised concerns about your approach to leverage. What are those concerns summarized, and what's your counter argument?
Well, the concern is that I have basically too much debt, too much leverage. My counter argument is just look at your personal situation. For me, it makes sense. Businesses use leverage to get ahead. People use leverage to buy real estate, and they, you know, if you put a 20% down payment, then you're borrowing 80% of the value of like one of the largest assets that you will ever own. And, you know, nobody bats an eye on that. But if you use like 50% margin, then, you know, people go crazy. So you just have to contextualize everything. And I think that way it makes things a little bit more easy to understand.
You're young, which is fantastic, but it also means that you have not lived in a high rate environment. You don't have that lived experience of what it's like when people had to pay 18% on a mortgage. Mm-hmm. What happens when rates rise? It's not going to be in a year, but it certainly could be in a decade.
Right. So I have a stress test that I do, similar to the large banks, where if the economic environment changes, like interest rates go up or we have higher inflation, I have tools in place, and I can do certain things like sell stocks or sell one of my properties, just have different mechanisms that can alleviate some of that pressure when it comes. So having a plan ahead is very helpful with that.
In some ways, I was surprised to see you writing about Bitcoin because it seemed to be a bit off the mark. Tell us about your experience with Bitcoin and your choice to start playing that game again.
Yes, the Bitcoin story is one of speculation. And because I'm financially independent now, I do have some play money that I can just throw into things. And maybe it'll go up 10 times, maybe it'll go to nothing. But having that privilege, I think, really does help me to find these sort of outside of the box investments that I can play around with.
Does it keep you up at night seeing the crazy volatility, or are you good?
No, I'm good. I think it's a very long-term investment for me, so I don't look at the price on a daily basis, but it's also only like 2 or 3% of my whole net worth, so it's not a big loss even if I lose everything in it.
Right. So we kind of talked a bit about investing and the choices that you would have needed to make in order to free up the cash to invest. Tell me a bit about how you think about spending and, you know, lifestyle.
Yeah, well, my parents were very frugal, so I learned from them growing up to be thrifty, to be mindful of where I'm spending my money. I do all of my cooking at home, even before the pandemic.
And I mean, we all do our cooking at home now. Oh, right. Prior to the pandemic. Got it.
Right. And I just try to save money where I can, but also make sure that I spend money on the things that I do value.
Given your name, Liquid Independence, have you ever like spun for Deadmau5 or any of the other major DJs of our time?
No, I haven't really thought about it, but you know, once I quit work, maybe that's a new career path I can consider.
That'll be the thing. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for having me.
The blog is called Freedom 35. Wow. And our guest was Liquid Independence. I just love that nom de plume.